Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. When one first gazes at artist Ying Li's paintings, your first impression is that you're viewing purely abstract work, with paint smeared and layered onto the canvas, building into a thick texture and impasto. But with intense viewing, a landscape comes into view, a cityscape, figures, a backyard. Soon after, you're viewing her work through her eyes, a world that merges representation with the abstract. Ying Li is this year's Ruth Mayo Distinguished Artist at the University of Tulsa. She's the Chair of Fine Arts and a Professor of Art at Haverford College in Pennsylvania. Her work has been shown in New York extensively and throughout the Northeast, and she's had one-person shows in Switzerland, Italy, and Ireland as well. Her work is a part of the Library of Congress and the National Academy Museum. The Alexander Hogue Gallery will feature an extensive survey of her paintings and drawings titled Elements by Ying Li, which is on display through December 13th. She'll be lecturing this evening at 5 o'clock in the Jerry Jones Lecture Hall in Phillips Hall, with a reception to follow in the gallery, and then a gallery talk in the Hogue Gallery beginning tomorrow at 9 a.m. Ying Li is my guest. Ying Li, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And congratulations on this beautiful show. Just wonderful work. And I tell you, that as I was walking into the gallery, my first impression, and I'm sure this is the first impression a lot of viewers have about your art, abstract art. And then upon further examination, very slowly, landscapes emerge. Cityscapes emerge. Figures emerge. As I walked through the gallery, I sort of immersed into your world and your way of seeing the world. After about 20 or 30 minutes in the gallery, all of a sudden, I didn't see abstraction at all. I saw landscapes. I saw, you know, backyards. I saw trees. I saw everything, which at first glance, I did not see. And it was like almost like I'm learning your visual vocabulary.
Yeah, I'm playing tricks on the viewer. It's, you know, that's the thing about something so amazing about painting, you know, about what the paint can do. You know, the paint, okay, it's a paint, but now let's play. Let's see, you know, what we can do with this. You know, you just go through the history, you know, through the centuries of, you know, painting. And you can see, you know, the different artists, you know, how they just, in a way, manipulate and, you know, play with this medium. And let's say, you know, Chardin's painting, you know, that little dot of red, you know, at the corner of the rabbit's mouth, you know, and give the painting such amazing, you know, almost like a violence, but at the same time, it's so beautiful. But it's just that little piece of red, the painting needed that little piece of red to get all the closer tones sing together. You know, that's what paint can do. You know, can read in so many different ways.
We were talking about classical Chinese painting and using blank space. In your, at least in your oil painting, there's not a lot of blank. We're talking about pounds of paint. On these.
True. There were one painting that's like over 50 pounds.
So is it a matter of building up layers and finding the way to create the image, or is it just a process in which you're working and sort of in the moment and all of a sudden, okay, I'm done?
You know, I didn't intend to paint really heavy paintings. You know, it just it really come out of a frustration. You know, you paint, you know, you couldn't get the way you want.
So you keep adding.
I just scrape off too. And then sometimes, you know, I just wanted to have a clear color and the sharp lines. You know, that. So I just scoop, you know, a pile of paint, you know, just a smear right on it. Then,
And then you manipulate it.
And also, you know, lately I've been painting just with tubes. Yeah, it's not like I said, oh, now I'm going to make a tube painting. You know, it's really not about that. It's really like I try to make a crisp line and, you know, with a really fresh color. But in that pile of mud on the surface, it's very hard to do. Then, you know, you grab tube. You just like squeeze on
it. We're talking like, is this acrylic or is this oil?
Oil.
Oil.
These are all oil.
So it's oil painting that's put into a tube and you just squeeze it out of the tube?
Yeah, just squeeze. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got really cool.
No, it very much looks like that.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a line that sort of you want to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually a very different color than the palette of the painting,
yep,
too.
Yep. It's I really, you know, use that to make, you know, to hold everything together in a way. You know, you need these crispy lines or, you know, the color make all the other work. You know, my process, I work on a painting, you know, for a long time. You know, for extended, you know, long hours, you know, like 8-9 hours, just one session, you know, that's a regular. But the piece really finish in the last half hour. You know, sometimes like the last 15 minutes, you just make your final decision, you know, what you're going to do with all this. And usually at that moment, I make very dramatic changes. And change the structure or, you know, even the palette and the, you know, composition, you know, everything. So that time is like, oh, I just need a loaded pen to really talk, you know, to make that, you know, to make everything clear.
I wanted to ask about your process because it seems like at the base, there is a very representational landscape,
yeah.
Cityscape.
Yeah.
Is that the case or is that come out through layers and layers and layers and scraping and repainting or at the base, is there a very representational image at its base that you are adding to?
Usually I just talk a little bit about the process and I paint from looking and I go out, even though you said, I'll tell you one story. It was kind of a cool story. I was painting by Lake of Chautauqua. I taught at the Chautauqua Institute in New York for, you know, for summers, you know, for years. And the one summer, you know, one day I was painting just by the lake. You know, two girls came, and they're very curious what I was doing. And so they sort of like dancing around, trying to get my attention, you know. I tried to ignore them. But then finally, they stood right in front of me, you know, sort of like they want me to see them. And so one girl said, what are you doing? I said, I'm painting. They said, what are you painting? I said, I'm painting that boat. I'm painting a ferry, you know, on the lake. And so she look really hard, look into my painting, look really, really hard. Then she got so frustrated. She said, where is the boat? I said, you have to look harder. So I paint from looking. You know, I just stand right in front of, you know, what I'm working on. And usually at the beginning, everything sort of like, you know, recognizable. You know, it's like you make stew. You know, you got your cabbage, you know, you got your beans, you know, they're all recognizable. You know, it's very clear, you know, what they are. So I sort of map out all the space and, you know, the tree here and the foreground, whatever. And, you know, half hour into the process, your mind and your vision start to do something else. You know, you want to really find, you know, what's under all this and what hold everything together. You know, it's a sort of like, you search for that thing. You even don't know what that is. So through the process, you can land it in a very, very different place you even, you know, never thought about. You would be there.
Yeah. And it's interesting you describe the same process of viewer in many ways, the way the viewer views your work, I think, because as I walked in the gallery, I saw a couple of what I thought were, at first glance, abstracts that looked like they might have some sort of figurative or representational mountain range. After spending 20 or 30 minutes looking at your work, I went back to these pieces and I go, oh, well, this is obviously a very high mountain range. I'm looking down into a valley. I'm seeing all these things that my brain did not process the first time through.
Mm. in a way.
And these were actually plein air paintings from the Alps.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, you know, I love painting outside. I love standing. You know, I was a Telluride. We painted in the 30s, you know, just standing right, you know, on the plat and facing this incredible energy of the mountains, you know. And
probably the fall color, too.
Oh, it's amazing. And the snow, you know, you see the clouds coming, you see the storm coming, you see the, oh, the mountain disappeared. You know, what you're painting just disappeared. And, you know, that kind of excitement to me, it's really, you know, such kind of a energy and the inspiration and keeping me on my toe all the time. Also, you know, give me ideas, you know, so. Oh, maybe I really shouldn't focus on that mountain. You know, really should be the space in between those two triangles. You know, something like that. You know, just like it's really interesting. It's like the landscape talking to me, said, you know, okay, look, you know, here is your possibility, you know, or
It sounds like you're second-guessing your process all the way through the process until you sort of find something you decide on.
Yeah, you know, also, you know, there's like a three-way to go. Your painting there and the landscape there and yourself there. And these three have to match to make the painting work. And while the process going, the painting what's happening on the canvas, you know, it's like constantly talking or rejecting. And it has its own life there, you know, same as right. The nature there. So all this, you know, you have to, it's sort of like in life, you know, you have to listen to other people. You know, you have to be aware of what's going on in the environment. And the painting is sort of like that. You know, you also, it's like, you know, a quartet, you know, mm-hmm. Your main job, you have to listen, you know, so you know, how you can be part of this sound and the work.
Even though we think of it as a solitary.
Yeah, it's never solitary. And then, you know, you curse, you know, you're just so pissed off, you know, it's nothing works there.
My guest today is Ying Lee, the Mayo Distinguished Artist at the University of Tulsa. She's Chair and Professor of Fine Arts at Haverford College in Pennsylvania. Elements by Ying Lee is on display at the Alexander Ho Gallery through December 13th. She'll be doing a gallery talk this evening and again tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock at the Ho Gallery. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. I'm going to talk about some of the pieces in the show. You mentioned some paintings from Telluride, and I don't know if it's the painting you were referring to, but there was one painting, and I did have trouble finding Telluride in it because it was what seemed to be aspen gold.
Mm.
I mean, it was the color. It wasn't mountains.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, I mean, how many painters have painted mountains? I mean, you have to find it. You have to find a new way of expressing it.
Yeah.
And that seemed so to be a very different way of expressing a mountainscape.
So true. You know, it's always, you know, everything being painted. You just have to find your little niche, you know, how to.
Well, I want to ask about one of your niches.
Yeah.
And that is a tree that exists, I guess, at Haverford College you were telling me about.
Yeah.
And it's something you've been painting for years.
I've been painting that tree for the past 15 years. And since I moved into that house. It's right at the back.
Is it on the commons?
It's an oak tree. It's on campus. You know, mm-hmm. Haverford has one of the most beautiful campus I ever seen. You know, they really take good care of, you know, the nature and how the nature and the architect interact. They're not like, okay, I'm going to build a big building right here. You know, they think about how that will play with the surroundings. Mm-hmm. And
so what's special about this tree?
This tree, it's interesting. You know, the first time I saw, you know, I saw that house, what I like about it is like two porches. One's a back porch and the one's front. And right away, of course, as a painter, you always think about where you're going to paint. And I thought, oh, this is great. You know, so in the winter time, I could have a little shutter, you know, and but it's still being outside. And, you know, the space, it's great there, back there. And that tree is right in my view when I look out, you know, from that porch. And it was a beautiful oak. And the color just turned every season. And so I've been painting that tree, you know, for all these years through the seasons. And you just see the tree, you know, in the full shape, in the color, in the, you know, thick summer time. Then the fall comes and the turn all red, you know, bright red, then dark red. Then the red is on the ground. The leaves all fall, you know, so the ground is red, but the tree is just bare branches. And
then you have winter with
the
snow?
Yeah, you see the few pieces in this show. And actually, Mark Lewis, a professor, a painting professor here, we curated the show together. And one thing he said, you know, the painting I saw years ago, it's like a night oak, night little tree painting. You barely, you recognize the tree, but you feel it's there. He said, do you still have the painting you put in the show? So that painting really made me think, oh, we should have a group of those. You know, that's why these few there in the different seasons.
Now you also have some very small works called your Cities series. And I guess these are just a variety of cityscapes.
The cityscapes, you know, I've been living in New York since fall 83.
Yeah, and I should mention you split time between Haverford College in New York. And
yes,
Chelsea,
yes, and I started to teach at Haverford College in 97, and actually Haverford really got me started painting landscape because, you know, the campus. And
what were you painting before?
I was painting, you know, sort of like abstract, but like a still life, interior and exterior kind of a space. And, you know, I work in the studio.
Right.
Yeah. And through the years, I have been thinking about painting the city, but somehow I just like, I went as far as I could. You know, I would end up in the Swiss Alps or, you know, in France, you know, in Ireland, I painted all those. But I think because I really love to travel. So it's like, you know, one stone, two birds. You know, you go to paint the place that you really want to be. And but I've been thinking of painting the city, but the city is very intimidating. You know, so much history behind it and being painted by, you know, this great painters, also great paintings, and the painting schools, you know, were born in that place. And so you know, I didn't really get my hands on it. But 5 years ago, my husband passed away. And I went through very, very hard time and, you know, really quite miserable. And I couldn't paint for like a year and a half because I had to, you know, just
didn't feel like painting.
Not really that. It's like, you know, you just totally throw off. You know, you're, you know, it's just like, yeah, you had to deal with other things on top of your emotional desperation. And one thing I did soon after he passed away, with a, you know, bunch of friends' help, you know, packed his paintings, not his painting, his books. He was a professor at Rutgers University, art historian, writer, and Haverford College was very gracious. They, you know, they say just move all the books to here, you know, be part of our library. So that's what I did, one of the very first thing after he passed away. So we packed all his books, you know, it's like 120 some boxes of his books. And my friend Charles Ding helped me, you know, just rent a Yoho, just move all the books to Haverford. And I remember that moment I stood in the middle of that empty studio, his studio, and I just felt empty. I just felt, you know, desperation. And then I look out at the window. There was the city. And that's the view he'd been, you know, looking at for.
And if I'm not mistaken, you painted that window.
That's it.
And a number of very small paintings that created the whole window from the very top of the skyscrapers down to the trees down below.
Yep, exactly.
This is not in the show. But it is a really amazing piece.
Yeah, yeah. And I look out, I thought, oh, you know, that's what he'd been looking at through the years. And there was Hudson River way on the west side. And now you can't see at all because the development, and all this, you know, huge buildings built up, you know, just layers and layers buildings. So I just look at it and I start to draw, you know. That's how that piece developed. You know, I started with a 8x10, you know, small, just a small sketch book. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, oh, you know, I do another one right next to it. The scene, it's just like my eye just moved through the space while I was doing these small sketches. And I was thinking of, oh, you know, that's what he talked about, you know, that view. You know, that's the main reason he moved into that studio space.
And that got you painting the city.
That got me painted the city, yeah. And that was 15 floor high. And so I've been still, you know, I'm still working on, you know, a bunch of paintings through that window.
Well, let me ask about one other thing that's in the show, and that's a series of drawings. And I think they're very powerful work, and they're just very intimate portraits.
Yeah.
In various places, one laid down on a bed, another, you know, just various glances. But I have to ask, because you have this very beautiful image, and yet there are all these almost like strike marks on top of everything. Mm. What is behind those strike marks? I mean, maybe I would refer to them as strike marks. Maybe you wouldn't.
To me, you know, it's okay. It's interesting. You know, I've been drawing since I was a kid, and also I was trained in China undergrad as, you know, social realism.
Yeah,
and based on figures.
Right.
And of course, those days you paint figures in such a, you know, stereotype. You know, bad people, they all look like a devil. And they're all gray, blue, black. And the good ones, like soldiers, farmers, you know, and they all had red cheeks, you know, smiling, you know, just a...
They're heroes.
Yeah, they're heroes. But I trained to paint those paintings. I always drawn to, you know, draw a paint a human being. You know, that's another story from, you know, right in front of this enormous landscape. And because right away, you know, there is a focal point. And the person, and there is really a very personal kind of a interaction right there. And, you know, that part, you know, always, you know, got me kind of interested. You know, I'm fascinated by, you know, how you capture that, you know. And also another thing is, when you do landscape, doesn't matter how bad you do, you know, still look okay, it's landscape, you know, tree, mountains, or whatever, you know. But with a person, if you didn't get the right, man, look like, you know,
that doesn't look like me.
You know, it can be
or
so
that
off.
Doesn't capture me. That's
yeah, yeah. Also, everybody, you
or
know,
maybe it does react. Capture me, and I don't want that part of me captured.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's another story. You know, there's some kind of psychological things. You know,
yeah.
but everybody, you know, sort of, okay, what a human being look like. You know,
yeah.
And to me, it's really such a vehicle. You know, to push my painting. When I draw, I think about the paintings in the clearest way. You know, the same as when I sit in a concert, listen to, you know, good piece of music. You know, that's the moment I can think about my paintings in the clearest way. You know, sort of that function kind of very closely in a way. And also drawing, because drawing is so direct and fast. You know, you can just keep drawing nonstop for as long as you want. But with painting, you have to stop to, you know, to tend your palette, you know, get a paint and squeeze more paint or find the right tube, you know, right color, you know, all these things in between. So drawing is a really, you know, so direct, you know, with your hands and the brain and your eye. And so that's really, you know, way, you know, to think about how I go with the painting. You know, a lot of those, you know, lines in the drawing you mentioned, it's really got me to think about, oh, I can, you know, I just do like this in my painting, mm-hmm. you know. So that's how that
it's the same
developed.
Techniques. Yeah. Same techniques.
Another thing you talk about, you know, how these lines, you see them just like lines right there. It's like a really, they, you know, during the process, you know, with the lines and with the eraser, you know, make these white lines, you know, to bring the paper back, you know, those two kind of a track of the lines going on. And, you know, how they interact. It's sort of like you listen to a piece of a Bach. You heard there's another line, you know, going on, even you don't see on the paper.
So they're contrapuntal drawings.
It. Yeah, that's it. I love that word. I'm going to do a series of that, you know. Yeah.
Well, Ying Li, we look forward to seeing the show. I'm looking forward to seeing it again, and I hope a lot of people do as well. It's a pleasure
Great.
To speak with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Ying Li is the Ruth Mayo Distinguished Artist at the University of Tulsa. She's chair and professor of fine arts at Haverford College in Pennsylvania. And a survey of her work titled Elements by Ying Li is on display now through December 13th at the Alexander Hogue Gallery. She'll be lecturing this evening at 5 o'clock in Phillips Hall on the TU campus with a reception to follow. And then she'll give a gallery talk in the Hogue Gallery tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.